food addict and an addict of most things, actually.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi. I'm a very grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous, and what a weekend this has been. What a weekend. I'm just thank you, Heart of England Intergroup, and thank you for all of you for this collective consciousness. It's enhanced my recovery beyond anything you could imagine, and I'm very, very grateful. I feel very nurtured and very blessed. So, I have been in Overeaters Anonymous for over 20 years. I was here for 7 years. I didn't put the food down. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't work the steps. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't work if you don't work it. But I loved OA and they loved me. And I didn't want to get well, but I wanted lots of attention, and that's what I got here. Because you're very loving and you're very kind and you hugged me and you told me to keep coming back, and that was great. But it didn't help me stop eating. And I'm not blaming anybody for that, because I wasn't ready and I didn't want to do it. I was not willing. And I was here in 2008 at the convention, and then I left OA. Got the hump with OA. I got the hump with most things in my life, because I have a fault-finding mind and I can find the bad in everything, and you know, it wasn't good enough, and I left OA and I was out there for another 11 or 12 years. And eventually the food brought me to my knees. I was chronically disabled. I was doubly incontinent. I couldn't walk. I was threatened, they threatened that I would lose my legs. They threatened that I'd lose my eyesight because I had fat behind my eyes and it was about to squash my optical nerves. I couldn't get in and out of the car, I couldn't get up and down the stairs. I had pain in my body through the amount of sugar, the inflammation in my body. And I'm not saying that for self-pity. It was my truth. And I was blaming it on everything and everybody, and I wasn't looking at myself. And somebody who's in this room today said to me, "Oh, what about the food and what about your eating?" And I thought, swear, but I thought, blow you. How dare you? You know, how dare you? I don't want to live in the reality of my situation. It's nothing to do with me. I lived in a world of this is all happening to me, poor me. And I decided that I had to do something about it, and I knew I couldn't do anything about it. I knew I was powerless. And I cried out to something out there. I had no idea what it was, but I knew that I couldn't do this on my own. And I went downstairs and I made an abstinent breakfast. I had masking tape over my mouth because I couldn't stop the hand to mouth, the hand to mouth, the hand to mouth. I was like a junkie. Until I got my sugar and my caffeine in the morning, I was rattling. And I didn't care about anybody or anything, at least of all myself. All I wanted was the drug. All I wanted was the sugar. It was like cocaine to me. I had it hidden around the house. I had chocolate bars in the middle of toilet roll holders. I had it hidden in the garage. I was lying, I was cheating. I didn't care about anybody. I'd be at funerals and I wouldn't care about the person who died or the people that was grieving. All I wanted was to get to the wake and let's get the party on. You know, my life was ruled by this thing. It was like a predator. And I was just running around behind it. I was just running around, you know, he was getting me to do whatever he wanted the next thing. He didn't care about me, he didn't care whether I was dead or alive. And worse than all of that, is that I was dying spiritually. I was dying spiritually. I was cut off from the world. The bigger I got, the smaller my world became. And I was just so disconnected and so lonely and so terrified of people. And I got down on my knees, literally. It took me a long time to get up, but I got down on my knees. And I went downstairs and I made this breakfast and I got my first day of abstinence. And that is a miracle. It was a miracle. Because I've been doing this thing for 45 years, 50 years, since I could ever remember. And anyway, I was 10 weeks clean and sober, put the whole lot down, all mine altering substances, including caffeine. And I thought that was my problem. I thought that putting the food down was my problem. Well, let me tell you, when I was 10 weeks clean and sober, I wanted to blow my brains out. I was suicidal. Abstinence is my problem. I can't live with the food and I can't live without the food. And I'm in absolute hell. And I thought, I need something more than this. Abstinence is not recovery, and I need to get recovery. And I knew where to come back to. And I walked into the room that I walked out of 11 years earlier. And I sat next to this woman, and I said, what am I going to do? I can't live with the food. I can't live without the food. She said, you better get down on your knees, girl, and pick up a big book. I thought, ah, the big book. So I came home, and I picked up the book. It was brand new, sat on my shelf for 20 years, never been opened. And I started to read from the foreword to page 164. And I had the desperation of a drowning man, because it was life or death, and I knew I was going to die. And I knew that I couldn't beat this thing. So I picked up the book. There was no one to sponsor me in that home group. No disrespect to them, but there was no one with any recovery. I didn't understand virtual things. For those who know me, I'm a technical dinosaur. I don't understand. I thought Zoom was a rocket. I sponsored myself, and I don't suggest that anybody should do that. This is a wee program, you know. But the book was designed for you to do it yourself, and I did it myself. And I got to step 8 and 9, and the problem was removed. You know, everything in that book came true for me. So, you know, step one, I'm powerless over food. I didn't have a problem with that at all. I didn't have a problem with that. It was obvious. My body showed you that, you know. But the second part of step one is, you know, my life had become unmanageable. And my unmanageability is not my body, and it's not eating, it's this. Okay, I have a mind-powered disease that is insatiable, it's never enough. It's a fault-finding mind, it's an opinionated mind, and it never likes the word no. And I don't have an off button. I don't have an off button. I can become addicted to anything. So, you know, I had no problem with step one. I had a powerful step one, and I'm in conscious contact with my step one every day, lest I ever forget who I am, what I am, and where I come from. Step two, am I willing to believe that there is something other than me? I had to, because it was either that or I was going to die. There was no third door. Either I pick up a spiritual toolkit at my feet or I die an alcoholic death. That's my truth. That's my truth. It may not be yours, but it's mine. Step three, am I willing to turn my will and my life over? My will is my thinking. My life is my actions. Am I willing to turn that over to something bigger than me? Frankly, I was willing to hand myself over to anybody that would have me, because I couldn't bear me anymore. I hated myself. I loathed the way that I was lying, the way that I was cheating, the way that I was behaving, the way that I was feeling. I loathed being in the world. I didn't want to be here anymore. Sounds very dramatic, but it's my truth. It's my truth. So I get to step 4 and 5. And, you know, as I said before, I am poor me from, you know, to me. You're all doing this to me. I'm a victim of you. It's all your fault. I don't take responsibility for anything. I don't like reality. I don't like living, you know, in the now where I am. I want something out there to fix something in here. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. I want a cat. I get a cat. I want a dog. I get a dog. I want this when I've got it. I don't want it. I don't like the colour. I get a new car. By the time I've driven it off the forecourt, I don't like it anymore. I want your car. I want your husband. I want your husband. This is the ism of my alcoholism. It's never right. It's never okay. I never feel comfortable. I never feel a part of. That's my disease. That's my disease. And I'm like that whether I'm in the food or whether I'm out of the food. This is the ism of my alcoholism. So I look in this step 4 and 5. I can never get past column 1 and 2. You're just all a bunch of, you know, and you're stupid. You are stupid. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm God. So it was a shock to me when they told me I was selfish and self-centered. How dare they? How dare they? Do they know where I come from and what I've done, all these wonderful, esteemable things that I do? Anyway, so I get to that, and I suddenly realise, wow, I've had a part in everything. I am my problem. I am my problem. My thinking is my problem. So, you know, I get to step 6. And this is the crux of it. That was all about my surrender. That was all about me, okay? My problem, I am the problem, I've established that. Okay, now I'm getting into the solution. This is where I stand before a power. I need a power. It says in We Agnostics, you know, I lack power. And I knew I lacked it. I knew I lacked it. My life showed me that. So I needed a power greater than me. So I stand before this power. And it says, am I willing to let this power change me? Am I willing? Because I needed transformation. I didn't need information. I had a head full of program and a belly full of food. I knew I was a counsellor, I was a psychotherapist, I had self-help books up to the wall. I knew lots of information. I needed transformation. And I'm handing all that I am, all that I know, everything that kept me safe, over to this power. And I'm willing to let that power transform me. I need transformation. So it was a powerful step. It's the engine that drives this program. It's only two paragraphs in the book, but it's the most powerful step for me. And I'm terrified because I'm thinking it's like the hole in the donut. If I get rid of all of that, who the heck am I? And I went through a phase, and I call it the void in recovery. I don't know who I am. I'm not that anymore, but I'm not that either. And I don't know what this power is going to make me, do I? I don't know what it's going to replace me with. What am I going to be? Who am I going to be? But I trusted. Faith is about trust. And I trusted this power. I didn't understand it. I didn't intellectualize it. I didn't have to think about it. I just had to do it. And I said to somebody today, it doesn't matter how many years I've got. It doesn't matter how many sponsees I've got. It doesn't matter how many meetings I go to. It doesn't matter what I do, how much service. None of that keeps me clean and sober today. What keeps me sober today is what I'm willing to do now. What action am I willing to take today? Am I willing today to keep in collaboration with this power and asking it to mould me? Clay is a lump of old mud. I was a lump of old mud. But mud is earthy and it grows things and it's beautiful, but in the hands of a potter it can turn into something useful and beautiful. And that's what I've changed into, something useful and beautiful. There's somebody in this room today, the woman who actually told me to, what about you and your eating? I could have punched her, I tell you. she'll tell you that I am still the person I was, but I'm nothing like the person I was. Because this power transforms my heart and my soul, and I suffer from a spiritual malady. I need a spiritual solution. I had an emptiness inside of me that was so big, it was a cavernous hole and nothing could fill it. And the more I tried to fill it, the bigger it got. I was empty. So, it's an exciting journey. If you like getting high like I do, this is the high of your life. This is a continuous high. My higher power does for me what the food promised to do and never did, okay? The food promised me the sky, promised me the world, but it took away the sky. It took away my dignity. It took away my honesty. It took away me being part of the world, me being part of people. It took away everything that I had. It destroyed everything that I had. And I'm grateful. I'm so, so grateful that I know this truth today, and I don't have to live like that anymore, and you don't have to live like that anymore either. You don't have to live like that, you don't have to suffer. But I do need to change, and I need to continue to change. And if I'm still in the same place this time next year, then I'm heading for relapse. I'm heading for relapse. What am I willing to do today? What am I willing to give to this power today? What am I willing to share with others today? I have to pass it on. So it's a powerful, powerful step. It's a powerful, powerful step. And it's changed my life. And I'm continually asking God to remove these things. And it's not because I'm a bad person. I'm not a bad person trying to get good. I'm a sick person trying to get well, And I do these things because I like the effect that it gives me. I'm an alcoholic. I don't do anything unless I get something in return. I don't do it for the goodness of my health, I do it because I like the effect that I get from it. I get the effect now from the higher power. Thank you. I get an effect from the higher power that we used to try and get from the food, but I didn't get from the food. So if you're new, just do it. Don't try and negotiate with it. Just follow the instructions. It's simple. It's not easy. But it's like anything, if you want to make a casserole and you follow the recipe, it's no good if you don't put it in the oven. I brought some headphones to do the disco last night with, but I didn't bring the charger. And I could put the headphones on and dance around, but I couldn't hear the music. I had to have someone with the power, and somebody came along and they plugged the headphones in and they started to work, and I had the music and I had the fun and the joy. And my life today is beyond anything that I could have even had the capacity to imagine. I couldn't have imagined the life I had today. I have today. Truly, I couldn't. I wasn't, thank you, I wasn't able to do that. So, you know, I pray that something that I've said today may touch the heart of somebody in here, because I believe that I'm a vessel and this power will talk through me into the lives of somebody. So thank you for listening, and thank you for inviting me, everybody. Thank you.